who can we pick on today to get up here? Sharon, you haven't been up here for a while, have you? You want to come up and lead us in prayer? This Sharon? Got two shirts. Is that all right? Or are you?
Sure.
All right. Watch all the paraphernalia up here.
Father, we thank you for another opportunity to learn your word. And Lord, I just thank you that we've all gathered together. I thank you for your Christmas season, Lord, and I ask your blessings on our new year. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. You know, it's kind of unusual. The two greatest bucking horses in the world came from the same ranch in Canada. Midnight and 5 minutes to midnight, both of them. Both 5 minutes to midnight, I think, was ridden one time.
Were they related?
Probably, to some extent. They were both part thoroughbreds. Man of War, the greatest, one of the greatest race horses in the world. Some of the greatest bucking horses came from Man of War. How many of you knew that? Some of the greatest bucking horses came from Man of War. 41:21. Watabana. El Girebana. Wilo. Nada. Ti. Bon. El Girebana. Umarihin, Ra, Ta'ashur, Bati, Chil, La'a, Wa, Igats. And they went unto them, and not all it could be known, because they had come unto them. And their appearance is evil as in beginning, and I awoke. Now the story here is Pharaoh's dream. And he's dreaming about these cows. He's a cowboy too, see. He's dreaming about cows. And they were standing on the bank of the river, and he saw seven really fat cows that were just sleek, and these were heifers, weren't they? What's a heifer now? Remember what a heifer is? Huh? A female that has never had a calf yet. That's a heifer. Okay? Now all these heifers are there, and then these old skinny cows come along. And the skinny cows began to eat up the fat cows until there was nothing left of the skinny cows. And Pharaoh is scared. He doesn't know what's going on. He keeps having this same dream over and over again. And what is the Greek word for dream? What is the Greek word for dream? Hypnose, which we get our word hypnosis from us. In other words, God put him into a hypnotic trance. A hypnotic trance. I know the next word you were going to say. Brother Mike, is write that out. So there it is. Hypnose. That's what it is like in English, okay? Hypnose. We get a word hypnotize from that word, hypnotize. God hypnotized Adam in the garden. And God has hypnotized many people and come into their dreamland and given them visions over thousands of years. He has. And he said evil, and the appearance, and their appearance was evil. Evil, ra. Look at that word ra, evil. What?
R-A-H.
Yeah, raw. R-A-H. Or R-A, but it's got a raw. You breathe out with it. Raw.
Was there a god called Ra?
Yeah. Amun-Ra. Yeah. Amun-Ra of the Egyptians. Ra. The sun god, Ra. Amun-Ra. The son of Ra. All right. We are Bachelomi. There's that word. You can write down hypnosis right below that one. Wehene, Sheba, Shevalim, Olat, Vikeneh, Etad, Malioth, Watavoth. See, Brother Mike, isn't too scary, is it? Do you want the right book? We've got one.
No, I just bought the wrong. It doesn't matter, though. But you're giving us Greek and Hebrew words.
That's right.
That's right.
All you look at Greek and
ish
Hebrew.
Ish and
Isha, Ish is man, Isha is woman.
Hebrew.
Nahash is snake and Hebrew. All that kind of Hebrew. Stuff. Yeah, it's all Hebrew.
And then Hypnos and Ra are both Greek.
Hypnose is Greek. But we get our word hypnosis from the Greek hypnose. That's why I'm throwing it in. Okay, I'll throw Greek words at you a lot of times, so you'll know the equivalent. But all medical terms are from the Greek language. Okay? And so that's why I'm bringing this stuff into that. You can go to Bakersfield College and you can take medical terms and you'll learn Greek. You'll take medical terms or Greek. And I kept on seeing. First person's cal, first person singular cal, while consecutive imperfect. And I kept on seeing. All right? He kept on doing this. This is while consecutive imperfect. This is imperfect tense. While consecutive imperfect. In my dream, in my ba is in there. See that preposition right in front of that? That's preposition ba. Ba shalami. In my dream, in the dream of me, okay? And behold, we hene. We is and hene is behold. And behold, Shiva, seven ears of grain, Shivalim. Yeah, seven.
Like the Hindu god Shiva?
Oh, that's the one that the
arms?
Yeah. Yeah, the Indian. I can't think.
Hindu,
yeah. Seven ears of grain going up. The ears of grain, of course, are feminine. All grasses and things like that are feminine in Hebrew. Seven ears of grain going up, feminine plural, cal participle. It comes from Allah. See that word? Down below, do you see the root of it? On page 748 in Brown, Driver, and Briggs, and page 828 in Kohler and Bumgardner.
You can look on these pages here.
Was it 748? Almost did it. On 748, you see the root of that word right here. See that?
You can go and you'll see the root of that word. Right there. See it? 748. That's it, right there. All right. And I'll show it on camera. 748. You can look it up and then read all the different things it says about that word. See all of that? Tells you all different kinds of usage of that word. Now, this is the analytical Hebrew lexicon. This is. Analytical Hebrew lexicon, what does it tell you? What's the difference between a lexicon and an analytical Greek lexicon, or Hebrew? This one here, you can take every word and it'll tell you what part of speech it is. It'll give you the root over here on one side, and then what part of speech it is. Everything, it tells you everything about it. This is not a lexicon like that. That tells you the history of the words. This one tells you how the words are made up. Okay? This is analytical. If you have an analytical English lexicon, what does it tell you? An analytical English lexicon is a little different. It tells you the history and the origin.
It tells you the history and the origin of all English words. The English language is a very poor, very simplistic language. It was like, That's about it. That's about all there was in English. Okay? Anglo-Saxon is a very small, miniature language. But as they came in contact with other people, the language grew, and if you'll look up English, there are very few English roots of English words in our language. Very few. It's minuscule. About 1 in 1,000, I guess. That's not very much. Okay. By the way, this is a tie that Dakota did for me for Christmas, see? I taught her how to bead work. She edge beaded all around it and then put my Indian signature on it. Very good. Great girl. Take a bow, Dakota. All right. That's Shugami Atatonka. All right, Shugami Atatonka. That's the traveling dog. That's the wolf that follows the buffalo herds. That's what it really means. Shugami Atatonka. Shuka is dog. Mayeta, that's the one that travels, and Tonka, the buffaloes. All right, or the big. It's the big wolf that follows the buffalo. All right. And I saw in my dream, and behold, 7 ears of corn going up, in a stalk one, full and good. Look at that word tov down there. What tovoth? Tov is the root of that word right there. Tov is the root of that one. 41:23 now. 41:23. What's the first word there? How does that one? Who knows how to read that? You can read my writing. Wihene. Shiva. Shivalim. See, this starts with a T. It's Tesenumoth. Tesenumoth. Dagoth. Shidapoth. Godim. Toso mi choth. Acharihem. And behold, 7 ears, she dried out. She dried up. 7 ears, she dried up. That's feminine plural, kal perfect participle. 7 years, 7 ears having dried up is how it should be lettered. Seven ears, she having dried up. Lean, dagos, skinny. And she da fult, and she being blasted, she having been blasted, and then we have the word the rising of the sun. That's what it really means here. This is the rising of the sun. Where does the sun rise? In the east. All right, the sun rises in the east. Of the rising of the sun, and of course, when the sun comes up, it heats everything up there. And if wind comes from that area, the wind is what? Hot wind. Hot wind. All right. And then sprouting forth. Sprouting forth. We have a sod hay in front of that. Samolchivoth. And sprouting forth after them or following them behind them. All right. 41:24. Wati valana. Hashivalim. Hadagoth. Shiva, Hashivalim, Hatavolt, Wyomer, El, Hachatumimim, Wien, Magid, Li. All right. And they kept on swallowing down. And they kept on swallowing down. Third person, and the she's, they kept on swallowing down. The ears. Look at that word. Where's the come from? Where's the definite article come from? Ho, to, horistro, kona, or throne. In Greek, where is it? That's the ha. Thank you, brother. You got an A+ for tonight. The ears and the ha dagoth. Now look at that word. That's a little old bitty Hebrew word, but look at all the English you have to put. Ha-dag-goth. All right? The lean. All right? And then we have an et in there also. An et. Ha-dag-goth et. I had left out the sign of direct object, so I had to put it back in there. See, I've made every scribal error that can be made. I know how they made mistakes, because I've made them all sometime or another. Shiva. Shiva means what? 7. Hashi Valim, the ears. This is the ears of grain. Hata Golf, the good. And that tau in that word right there means it's feminine. She is the good. The good she's is what it's talking about. And I kept on speaking. First person construct, singular, cal, wow, consecutive, plural. Unto the scribes, the educated ones, the hacha tumim. The hacha tumim. And I kept on talking to the engravers. The ones that engraved and wrote on the stone faces of all of the pillars and everything back in Egypt. The ones that engraved on stones and engraved on the papyrus. Papyrus was a very, very expensive product back at this period of time. Papyrus. It came from reeds out in the what we call the Sea of Reeds. The Sea of Reeds. And they were out in this marshland. There's all types of reeds coming up there. And these Egyptians would go out there and they would harvest these reeds. They would flatten them out. And they would pound them together, and they would put one going this way, and then one going this way, and they'd go back and forth. And they'd roll it up into long scrolls, and they'd write on these things. Now, I'm telling you this because you need to understand a little bit about the manuscripts of the Bible. The early manuscripts of at those periods of time back then were basically either written on papyrus, which we get a word paper from. Now, there was another place at the same period of time that was making paper in a different part of the world. One place was South America, same time. They were using it, making it out of pulp, like we make our modern paper from. Where's the other place in the world they were making? China. A lot of people don't realize that. Here we have three different parts of the world where they're making paper products. Papyrus was made out of reeds. Okay. Later on, we will take and pound up pulp like the Indians did and the Chinese did and make paper now. All right? But back at this time, it's papyrus. Now, they pretty much had the European market cornered on papyrus. People had to pay through the nose, so to speak, for papyrus. So they could write all their deeds down, their legal papers and everything like that. Now, your early manuscripts of the Bible, your Old Testament, was written pretty much on papyrus or leather scrolls, vellum. And they would take and roll them up. And if you go to Israel or you see any of the movies with the Jews in them and things like that, you'll see these scrolls where they roll it out. Later on, paper was bound differently. We have books today. These are codex. These are books. This is totally different. This is not a scroll. Can you imagine how long the scroll would have to be to take all of this and put it in one continuous? And not only that, but it would be harder to find a verse of scripture and chapter and book, wouldn't it? When in the early church age, churches quit writing on scrolls, the Biblia. And they began to make their Bibles in codexes, where they could turn the pages. And by 200 and 300 A.D., that's the way the biblical books were written, the New Testament was written. Okay? It was like that. The Jews went ahead and had their scrolls. They said, we're different than those dirty Christians. We have scrolls, not codices, not books. Okay? All this time, papyrus is very, very important because many of these scriptures are written on papyrus and the books were bound. They did write some of them on animal skins and young animal skins and all different kinds of skins like that, but many of the books were written out. And then we have what we call erased books. The paper was so valuable, but many of the old biblical scriptures, of course, the Catholic Church wanted to destroy all of the Greek and the Hebrew Bibles. Baptists always preached from Greek and Hebrew all the way back, okay, in the early part of the church age. They always preached from the Greek and Hebrew. As a matter of fact, a Baptist minister had to memorize the first four, they had to memorize all the Gospels, and they had to memorize the Psalms in Hebrew. They had to memorize the Gospels in Greek, four Gospels, and the Psalms in Hebrew. Now, that was their core requirements. That's what they expected, because the reason for that is because many of them didn't have any Bibles. Okay? Sometimes a church, because the Catholic Church condemned the Bibles, you could only have a Bible in Latin, which the common man did not know the Latin language. Okay? All the time we have all these scriptures out there, and many times, and the Catholic Church would confiscate, and they would burn people at the stake for having a page out of a Bible. And some of those churches would only have one book or a part of the book physically. Okay? You can be really thankful that you have a whole Bible today. But then they took and they would have erasers, what they call palimpsests. And some of the oldest Bibles pages that we have in the world are palimpsests. That means that the paper was so valuable, the papyrus was so valuable, that they would erase the original scriptures, writing, and they would write over it with contracts or whatever, deeds to property or whatever, some pagan poet or whatever. And then they have found some of these and found out that underneath there was biblical writings that go back to the first century A.D. and some of these old pieces. So papyrus is very important. It always was. And it was very valuable. The educated ones, the scribes, okay, the engravers, these people that were writing and in all of the contracts and all the legal papers and all the laws, the lawyers, so to speak, and not, we end, and here we have another word, for another adverb of negation there. We have that other not there, page 34 if you want to look it up, with a conjunction in front of it, an and, we end. And then it says, one making known or declaring to me. There was not one of these scribes that could interpret my dream. And by the way, these people are all on the payroll, so they could interpret dreams. Interpreting dreams has always been kind of a theological thing. And people have always put a lot of stock or value in dreams all the way through the history of mankind. 41:25. Wayomer. Yosef. El Paro. Ha'olom. Paro. Echad. Q. Et. Asher. Ha Elohim, Hose, Higid, Le Pharaoh. And he kept on saying Joseph. What does Joseph mean?
To increase.
What? To increase or to add or to multiply. All right? And kept on saying, and every place Joseph went, he was like the Midas touch, wasn't he? Or every place he went. And Joseph unto Pharaoh. And what does Pharaoh mean? Big house. You're a pretty sharp old boy, you know that? You've got all kinds of A pluses tonight, Brother Roger. Three words. That's the three words? All right. Chris, you got those three words? You got them too, don't you? All right. Unto Pharaoh. El, unto Pharaoh. El is a word that is used for many things. It can mean not. That means the adverb of negation. It can mean God. It can mean unto. The Hebrew is kind of a small language, okay? They use one word. So by the syntax, you have to tell what the word means. All right? Brother Mike, you getting all this stuff down? You got a list of names down there. All right. Unto Pharaoh. And then here we have the hypnose, the dream, the ha'olam, the dream. Pharaoh, one, he thought, one. And it is. Which the God about to do. Which God is about to do. And he has made known to Pharaoh. You have become his prophet, Pharaoh. Pharaoh was a prophet. Pharaoh was a prophet. He was a prophet belonging to God at this time. Think about that. By the way, this Pharaoh was probably related to Abraham and his bunch. Matter of fact, all people were related to Abraham at this period of time, in all reality, because he had a Egyptian wife, didn't he? And what was the product of that wife? What was the issue of this Egyptian wife? The issue. What was the issue's name? Ishmael. God hears, all right? And he had quite a few Japhethite sons. And he had one Shemite son. And his name was what? Yitzchak. Which means what? Laughter or pleasure. That's what Yitzchak means. Sheba, Paroth, 41:26. Hatavath, Sheva, Shanaim, Hena, Wisheva, Ha Shivolim. Hatavath, Sheva. Look at all the Shivas in there. Shanim, Hena, Shalom, Ehad, Hu. I wonder if this name Shalom here and the word Shalom over there and over going to the coast is the same name. Maybe that's a Hebrew name over there which means dream. All right. Sheva, seven heifers, Paroth, seven heifers. The good, Ha Tovah, and that word there, the root of that word is Tov, okay. 7 years. And seven, the ears, the good, 7 years they. Dream one it. We have one dream here. Wishiva, Haparos, Harago, Wiharaos, Haolos, Acharihim, Shiva, Shanim, Hena, Wishiva, Ha Shivalim, Harigoth, Shidu Thoth, Ha Gadim, Yehu, Shiva, Shine, Ra'av. All right. And seven the heifers, the lean, the skinny, the empty. That one's the empty ones. They're empty. They are empty. They're running on empty. They are skinny. They have nothing but bones and skin over them. They're empty. And the evil, we hara oath. And the evil going up, she going up. It's she going up. Feminine plural cow participle. She going up after them. 7 years, Sheva Shanim, Hena. And they, and seven, the ears, the empty. She is blasted or scorched. Feminine plural cow, perfect participle. The east wind. Wind from the east, okay? And shall become, ye you. And shall become. Here is the word there in Genesis 1 and 2. And shall become. Chained from one state to another, remember? Barashith bara Elohim et ha-shamayim ve-et ha-aretz. We ha-aretz. Ha-yah. Tohu v'ohu. This is the same word right here. Alright? And the east. And they shall become. Third person masculine, plural. Cow, imperfect. And they shall keep on becoming 7 years of famine, bad, poor. 7 years of rot. Okay? 41:28. Q. Hadavar. Asher. Da bar. Da dib barti. El. Hero. Asher. Ha Elohim. Ose. Hira, et, paro. Q. This is kind of a demonstrative pronoun, third person pronoun, all that rolled up in one in Greek. I mean in Hebrew. In Greek, it takes a gob of words to do what this one little word does in Greek, or in Hebrew. All right? And then had davar. See that dollop there? It's got a dot in the middle of it, which means it doubles it. Hod Dabar. What does the word Dabar mean? Page 180 in Brown, Driver, and Briggs, and page 210 in Kohler and Bumgardner. What does Hod Dabar? What does Dabar mean? It means to line up. To line up words, to line up fence posts, to line up soldiers or whatever. What is the word in Greek that equivalents to this one? What's the word in Greek? Lego. Lego. All right. And the word logos. N-R-K. Ein ho logos. That's the word right here we're talking about. This is the word in the New Testament they use for Jehovah. The unspeakable word or the unspeakable name of God. Asher, that little particle relation there, which I have spoken words. First person construct singular, PL. PL, that's in the powerful tense, isn't it? That's an action. Powerful. And perfect tense, it's done thing. Okay? That's like in Genesis 1 and 2. All right? Genesis 1 and 1, it says, and the earth, our God created, perfect tense. God had created the heavens and the earth, and she became formless and void. Hebrew, there is no question about it, is there? This is plain as a nose on your face. But the modern English Bible people can't get that through their thick skulls. They need to go back to the Bible and go back to Hebrew and understand what their theories and revelations are. And I spoke words, and I had spoken words unto Pharaoh. What the Elohim, what the God, the Creator. Elohim is what? It means creator. And when we look at the word Elohim from the Hebrew Scriptures, we're talking about the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Okay? The God. The Godhead. About to be doing, masculine, singular, cow, participle, about to be doing, He has shown, all right? Third person, masculine, hithel. He has shown for Himself to Pharaoh. God personally came into your dream world and He showed you this revelation. That's what He's telling Pharaoh. 41:29. Hine. Looked like I left out something, huh? Hine. And then Shiva. Shanim. Ba'oth. Shiva, Gadol, Bikal, Eretz, Mitzrayim. All right. Behold, 7 years coming in, plenty. Page 960 in that book over there tells you all about that word plenty. A lot, plenty, more than enough. And then he says, Gadol, great, abundantly, much, mucho grande, all right, in Spanish, mucho grande, a whole lot. Because in all, be is an and call is all, in all the land Eretz. What does Eretz mean? What does Eretz mean? There's two words for land in the Bible, in Hebrew, Eretz and Adama. Adama. What? Right here, it means a dry piece of ground. A dry ground. All right? In opposed to an island or whatever. This is dry ground. Dry ground opposed to the oceans. And all the land that is separated by oceans, okay, of Mitzrayim. And all the land that's separated by waters in Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim means what? Mitzrayim, yeah. What is the word in Greek for Egypt? Egyptos. Egyptos. Thank you, young lady. You got A+ tonight, too. All right, Egyptos. We got over in Egypt from that. And the word Mitzrayim, or Mitzrayim in Greek.
Red,
that's this.
Red
mud or canal banks and bulwarks. That's what it means. A land of red mud and watery bulwarks. Egypt, the lower land of Egypt, was irrigated. It's been irrigated since all of those days. They had all kinds of canals running around and dikes and canal banks. All right. It's a land of canals and red mud and canal banks. Okay. We Gamu. Shiva. Shene. Ra'al. Acharihim. We Mishkan. Kal. Hasava. Ba'eretz. Mitzrayim, we kilah, ha-ra-av, et ha-aretz. What's the word for land? Two words for land in Greek, Hebrew. Eretz and what? Adama. Adama, and in Greek? What's the word for land in Greek? Or earth? Gay. The word hagios means not of earth. Hagios means saint. One born from above and not of earth. Not of ground. Not of earth. Hagios. Okay? All right. We're related to the earth, Adama, aren't we? Because the Adama was made from the same elements that we have been made from. We're related to that. We, through Jesus Christ through us, and related to us, will redeem back not only us, our spirits and souls and bodies, but He'll redeem back all of the material universe to Himself. Because He's related to it. And He became related to us through Jesus Christ. Jehovah, the one who shall become. The becoming one. The one who shall become. We gamu shiva shene ra'al acharihem we nishkan kal hasava ba'aretz mitzrayim we kala ha-ra'av et ha'aretz. And it shall arise 7 years of evil, ra'av. 7 years evil. There's going to be 7 evil years that are going to be without water and without moisture. Following after them, and shall have been forgotten for itself. Third person masculine, singular, nifel, while consecutive, perfect. And shall have been forgotten for itself all the plenty, all the surplus, in land of Mitzrayim. The what is it? The land of canals and canal banks and red mud. And shall eat up, shall consume, shall complete, shall finish, shall gobble down. Third person masculine, singular, PL, while consecutive, perfect. You shall have gobbled down the famine, et, sign of the direct object. What is the Greek sign of the direct object? Here is the Hebrew sign of the direct object, right there like that. All right, now what's the Hebrew one? Eight. Thank you, brother. Another A plus tonight. You're just full of A pluses. Eight and et. And what is the rule of grammar in Greek? Extension or limitation of thought or verbal action. Something's going that direction. Or it's coming back. That's the Greek. Now the Hebrew just means pointing straight to something. When you put the crosshairs on something, that's what it means. Put the crosshairs. Line up the sights. Okay. Line up the side. 41:31. Wilo. Yewada. Hasava. Ba'aris. Mipene. Hara'av. Hahu. Achare. Ken. Ki. Kavat. Hu. Miod. and not shall have become known. And not shall have become known the plenty in land. From before the faces of the famine, the vat. And following afterwards, then. And following afterwards, then. That word can there, that's a little adverb of then. Okay, thenly. Because heavy, kavod, it, meowed exceedingly. Heavy was the famine and the curse upon the land exceedingly. Why did this terrible famine come upon this land? Why did this terrible famine come upon this land? You know, with God, all things are kind of ordered, aren't they? Why? When did God tell a prophet of God that this was going to happen? How long before this did God say that this was going to happen? This was planned a long time before this. All the way back to Noah. And all the way back to Abraham. All the way back to Abraham. Abraham, what did he do? We know that God cursed Ham's son, Canaan, which may have been a product of incest between Ham and his mother. Okay? God cursed Canaan, or the descendants of Canaan, and that they would come into the land and they would build up the land of Palestine, or at the land of the Philistines. Okay? That they would be cursed and that they would go back in the land, but God prophesied to Abraham that his people were going to be carried off for a long period of time into Egypt. And the reason why is because Abraham trusted in Egypt. And he went down into Egypt. Instead of trusting in God and staying in the land, he went down into Egypt. And he went down there and sold Sarah, the woman that was going to bring forth the Messiah to come. And because of that, then God cursed Abraham's descendants for a while, unslavery. First of all, they went down there and they were very happy. But how was God going to get them down into the land of Egypt? Because there was going to be a famine in all the land. And then here we have Joseph, which means increase, plenty, and surplus. He goes down in the land of Egypt. He becomes the number one man in Egypt. So he can take care of his family when they go down in Egypt. And then he gets Jacob down here. He brings him down in Egypt. See the story? But God knew this story at Noah's time. And he knew this story at Abraham's time. It wasn't anything new to God. And then Joseph, after his brothers are all mad and everything's scared to death, they have sold him into slavery. They were going to kill him and everything else. He goes down there and he becomes the ruler of Egypt, basically. Then they go down there and they fall down in front of him, and he kind of mistreats them a little bit. Just, you know, karma. Paybacks. He's really running them through the ringer tight. And then he said, don't worry about it. He said, God knew that I needed to come down here so I could come down here and preserve life for you. That's why all this happened. Do you see how the God's plan with man, the plan of the ages, God's eternal purpose. God has an eternal purpose. Nothing new is happening. Everything we look at our life as we look at each day, it's all brand new to us, and we don't know what we're going to do, and God looked down and He ordered every step of our feet. Isn't that something? We all, Hishanos, Ha Shalom, El Paro, Pa'amayim. Ki nakom hadavar. Mi'im ha'elohim. Yumi machar. Ha'elohim li'asotal. And concerning the completed, the repeated thing, the repeating, this is Nithel infinitive construct, the repeating, the dreams, unto Pharaoh. Twice. He repeated these dreams unto Pharaoh, Pa'amayim, twice. Because it is settled. It is established. It is established, the thing. Look at that. The thing. It is ha-davar. The thing is established. We have here, it is a written document. It is chiseled in stone. It is a fact. It is a law like Sinai's law. Okay? The thing from with the Elohim. And the hastening. Masculine singular PL participle, and the hastening, the hurrying, the Elohim to do it. God is hurrying now to do it. God told Noah about it. God told Abraham about it, but now it's happening right now. God is scurrying the time along. Okay? He is scurrying the time along. We are taught. Yeri, Perol, Ish. See that word Ish there, Brother Mike? You know what that word is. That's man. Okay, that's man. Okay. And then Navom. Wecha Tom. Wishitehi. Tehu. All Eretz Mitzrayim. By the way, my stuttering from my stroke has gotten a little better. Have you noticed that? I'm not stuttering as much as I was. Boy, I'm glad of that. I was about to quit. Couldn't talk. All right. And now, let him look. Third person masculine singular, Kaljusif in meaning. Let him look, Pharaoh, for a man, for an individual, for a male. Intelligent, discerning, a man that has intelligence and is able to understand and to deal with people. Masculine singular, Nithael participle. Guess who that was going to be? Joseph. Every place Joseph went, he became number one dog. He was the top dog. He was the top dog. He had 10 brothers older than him, but he became their watcher and their take care and their shepherd. Then he goes down there and he becomes the shepherd over that big eunuch's family. And then he goes into prison and he becomes the shepherd over the whole prison. Now he's going to be the shepherd over all of Israel. I'm not Israel, but Egypt. And wise. We shall come. And wise. Let him place him. Third person, master, singer, cow, juicy, the meaning. Let him place him over the land of Egypt. Of the red mud and Canaan. Now he is going to put a 20% tax on all the land. He's going to tax everything 20%. One-fifth. All right, 41-31. Ya'ase Perol We Ya'ked Pikudim All Ha'aretz We Shemesh Et Eretz Mitzrayim Beshiva Shenei Ha'sava. And let him lay an act, Pharaoh. I guess that old rascal's going to turn over. And let him act, Pharaoh, and let him appoint. That word's come kafod. See that word kafod there? That's the root of it. Page 823 and page 955. 823 in Brown Driver and Bridge. Page 955 in Kohler and Baumgartner. See the root of it there? See the root? Three-letter root. Most Hebrew words have a three-letter root to them. That's the etymology of it. Let him appoint. Let him place. Et, sign of direct object, in the land of Egypt, in 7 years, the plenty. Let him appoint or place in the land 7 years of plenty. Overseers, administrators. Let him place Pikudim. Overseers, administrators over all the land. Let him take one-fifth part, 20%. everything in the land of Egypt for the 7 years of the plenty. All right, he tells him how much to tax the people. 20%, one-fifth of everything they make. All right, 20%, that's a double tithe, isn't it? They're going to get the tithe now, double. 41:35, we'll get up here and we're going to quit here pretty quick. We yik betsu et kol okel hashanim hatavoth habaoth haeleh we yisvaru bar tashat yad pero okel ba'arim we shamaru. Well, we'll quit at this verse, I guess. We haya ha'okel and let become the food for storage for land for 7 years of the famine which she shall become in land of Egypt and not let her cut off the land in famine. Let me read this again. We haya ha'akel lefi kadom la'aretz leshiva shenei ha'ara asher te'yena be'aretz mitzrayim wilo tekaret ha'aretz ba'ra'av. All right. And let become the food for the storage for the land for 7 years of the famine which shall become. Look at that word become there. Haya. There is where the word which shall keep on becoming in the land of Egypt. And not let her be cut off the land in famine. In other words, don't let the land be destroyed. God is going to watch over this. 41:37, we'll quit here. Vayatav hadavar be'ene faro yuvene kol abado. And good. And kept on becoming good, the word, the speech. Kept on becoming good. Look at that word, tov, there. That's the word, tov. Kept on becoming word, the speech or the statement in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. In other words, what Joseph said here, everybody was happy with. They said, boy, God has picked us out special. Well, God has picked you out special, by the way. He has picked you out special and put you exactly in the place that you're supposed to be tonight. And here you were. 41:21-37. That's where we went tonight. We'll start with 48 next week. Do you have any questions? Brother Mike.
Would the 20% be pretty much what the realm would be at that time? Is that excessive, minimal? Have any idea?
Well, God through Joseph said that's what it was going to be. This was pretty high tax. But some pretty bad times were going to come. Now, what Joseph is turning Egypt into, he's going to give everything in all of the land, of everything around her, into Pharaoh's hands. Pharaoh's going to own everything in the end. He's going to turn it into a socialist state, first of all. It's going to become a socialist state because they're going to be taxed pretty high. And then he's going to take all of the land and put it into one hand, one person's power, which is Pharaoh. And he's going to take it, and he's going to take care of these people. I'll tell you what, when you're hungry, property doesn't matter, does it? What happened in the Dust Bowl days? People had farms back there. By the way, the Dust Bowl was created. That's the greatest, in America, that was the greatest man-made disaster that has ever hit this land. Wow. It was the Dust Bowl. Plowing up all of that buffalo grass. God put that grass there for a reason. Like Marilyn, when I go out in the mountains all the time, she wants to pick up rocks. A lot of people like to pick up rocks. I said, leave it where God left it. God had a reason for it being right there. Okay, just leave it there. All the pretty rocks are pretty, things like that. But I said, God had a reason to put it there. Just leave it there. When you mess with God's place, things happen. When we do things, we need to think about the results 100 years from now or 50 years from now. I have been suffering for the last 6 months from mercury and arsenic poisoning. You know how that happened? The greed in the 1840s and 50s of putting mercury and all of that into the streams and into the oceans. It was greed back then. And what has happened? Now we are plagued with what they did for gold back then. Okay? Those people back there that busted up that buffalo grass, the United States was thrashed for years. And the President of the United States was begging those people not to plow any more land. Did you know that? Franklin Roosevelt was begging those people not to plow that land. Begging them not to plow the land. There was a surplus of wheat, but they said, oh, our prices are lower, so we'll just plow more land. He said, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. And they kept on plowing, and pretty soon they had a disaster, a man-made disaster, the greatest one in America, that just about broke America and the world too.
Now, why do you think signs where people put up the death bowl was created by the government?
That wasn't the government.
But you'll see signs like that.
Right. No, the Dust Bowl was created by greed. Just like what the disasters we have. All of the mercury and arsenic poisoning. You know why you can't eat the big fish, you know, like tuna? You can't eat a shark and all these because these are big fish and they pick up this mercury and arsenic for years and years and years. What? Because of the gold mining in the 1840s and 50s. Well, and they're on. Poisoned.
Find a way to watch the Dust Bowl special. I don't know how you find it on TV, PBS, whatever. That is so interesting. It shows that what you're talking about.
Yeah, that's right.
And the dust was unbelievable. Killed people.
That's right. It killed people. People had dust pneumonia, all that kind of stuff for many years. I got to tell you this little story. I have that on CDs. We were watching that out there in where I live. For greed. They wanted more money. They wanted to plant more wheat. And the President of the United States were begging these people not to plow the ground. He was begging. He said, don't do it. Don't plow it. Don't do it. Just back off. Back off and don't produce as much and the prices will hold steady. And the land, the wind started blowing. Now, the winds had blown forever before, but the land wasn't plowed before. And then it started moving real estate across many, many states. When I was watching this thing out there and all these people out there like that, out there where I live, you know, they made a mistake out there at the end of Gosford Road. They plowed all that ground out there. That is a wind tunnel. It's historically a wind tunnel. Every year we have sand deep. And I told Marilyn, I said, at least those people had enough sense to move.
It was a big dust storm, dust thing.
We've had it over and over and over. It doesn't stop. It doesn't quit out there.
Was it like 20 years ago?
What's that?
The biggest dust.
Oh, in 1978. Yeah, 1978 is when that happened. I was here then. That place out there was 10 foot deep in the sand where I live.
So that's an example of the Dust Bowl.
That's an example of what the Dust Bowl was like.
But there was one about 4 years.
There were pretty big winds. That one was 120, 140, 150 mile an hour winds. We get 110 to 30 mile an hour winds out there all the time where I live. And if the ground is plowed, guess what? It comes all the way to Bakersfield. I have moved sand out of my place out there 4 and 5 feet, 6 feet, 8 foot deep. All the time. I got a tractor, John Deere 4400 out there. I wore that thing out moving sand. Brother Mike's moved sand out there, haven't you, Brother? You dug the grave out there one time. But I mean, boy, moving sand. I have moved tons and tons, hundreds of tons of sand out there. I know what that Dust Bowl was like. And the reason why it changed out there is there were great... When Joaquin Marietta came here, in the 1850s. That was Zorro. He moved horses down there, and he used to take the horses out and let them rest out at my house where I live. And out there was, a water well with real clean, clear, crystal clear water in it, and it came out of the ground. A lot of the water around here was stagnant water and a lot of alkali in it. Buena Vista Lake was big. There was Tulare Lake, real big, that run from here for 100 miles. Anyway, he'd come out there and let the horses, because there was plenty of deep sod and grass out there for the horses to eat. He'd let them rest a week or two there, and then he'd take them over either through the Bridger out or through Arvin or Tehachapi and take them down to Cucamonga, which is down for San Bernardino. Let them rest another week and then take them all the way to, Sonora, Mexico and sell them down there. But when they plowed that up and they cut down all those cottonwood trees, then here comes a tremendous wind tunnel out there. That's created. That was created. Now they need to make windbreaks. They need to do something. They need to keep the ground and grass or do something, but it's not going to happen. It'll just keep on blowing. All right. Thank you for attending and being here. We'll be here Wednesday night if you want to come. I'll be here Wednesday night teaching Greek. And I guess we're the only class tonight, and we were the only class Sunday night, weren't we? So we are kind of weirdos. If you want to be one of the weirdo group, be here Wednesday night. Thank you for your attention. Let's have a word of prayer. Who wants to come up here and dismiss us in prayer? Brother Mike, you want to come up here?
Sure.
All right. I didn't scare you, Mike. Did he? He's got two Sharons and two Mikes in this class. I saw you. Go. I didn't. It wasn't you. All right, brother.
Father God, Lord Jesus, thank you for this beautiful, wonderful day of worship. Thank you that it was mentioned to us that we all have our Bibles that we can read openly and freely in this country. Praise you, God, for that. Please protect each and every one in this room. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for the filling of your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for coming here. Even though everybody's taken off, I don't know how much time I got left, but I try to use it well. Redeem the time, for the days are evil. You know, we've been talking about the second coming and all that stuff all the time. Let it come. Let's just keep on doing what the Lord wants us to until He gets here.